everybody. You're listening to A Progressive Life, and this is Glenn Coble, and I hope you've warmed up. My goodness, when I came in this morning, it was 6 degrees outside, and that wasn't including the wind chill. That was what it was, real temperature of 6 degrees, and this is November. It's not January or February. We're not supposed to have that cold a weather. Right now, though, I looked at my phone, and it says we're up to 21 degrees in a virtual hot spell here, and it's not supposed to get too much higher, I don't believe, throughout the day. I think the high today is going to be 26 degrees, 27 degrees. No, that's tomorrow morning. So 26 degrees is the high for today, I guess. So good luck. Make sure you bundle up. I actually put on a fleece top over my T-shirt, which is what I normally wear in here. And I'm glad I have it on because it was a little cold in the studio. I'm not sure that I have a lot of listeners. My show being a kind of a political show, I guess it's definitely a political show. I would be surprised if a lot of my listeners haven't flipped over and are listening to the impeachment as it's going down right now. They have. I'm not sure. I looked a few minutes ago, and they were. They were interviewing one of the two people, but apparently it's going to go on a while because they're going to have 45 minutes for the Republican lawyer and 45 minutes for the Democratic lawyer, and then they're going to open it up to Congress people. So it's going to go a while. A lot of you probably don't remember the Nixon impeachment, but I do. It's pretty vivid in my memory. I was not that old, but I was not that young either, and it was pretty interesting to watch, and I did watch an awful lot of that. I'm not sure I'm going to watch a lot of this one. I will obviously watch a lot of the clips from these things, but I have things to do and places to go and people to see, so I will probably not be watching all morning as they're doing the interviews. Well, I did have a couple of people mention that they loved the glossary that I did last week, and I only got about a third of the way through my glossary, so I'm going to continue that. I will not go beyond today. If we don't finish it today, I'm not going to do it again. But I did have a couple people ask about it, and one person asked a particular word that I didn't have, but I looked it up for that person and got back with them. But we will go on, and what I'm doing is I'm trying to educate all of us. And I'm not saying educate you, because I'm educating myself as we go. A lot of these words, I am learning what I thought they were is not exactly what they were. So anyway, I got to, I think, page 6 on my glossary that I have. And all these words have something to do with politics. Now, the top of my list here is hoi polloi. And usually they tell where it comes from, but this does not tell where that term comes from. But it means the common people, the hoi polloi, the people that went to back in the French Revolution, who went to the beheadings and stuff like that. That was the hoi polloi out there in the crowd watching and cheering for what seems to me to be something that would be in absolutely unwatchable. The next word, humanism. Humanism is a term that is used sometimes by people to run other people down, but it's a cultural movement during the Renaissance that emphasized secularism and classic learning, you know, like learning Latin and that sort of thing, from the ancient, and also learning from the ancient Greeks and the Romans. And it emphasized human capacity for self-fulfillment without religion, humanism. And a lot of people do use that as a derogatory term for people that they don't believe believe enough in religion. All right, here is the term for the day. This is impeachment. And impeachment, I used to think it started with an E, but it starts with an I. It's I-M-P-E-A-C-H-M-E-N-T. And I think most of us over the past few weeks have learned what impeachment means. But let's just give the classic definition of it. Legislative equivalent of a criminal prosecution, where a high government official is subject by the House of Parliament or by Congress to an investigation, indictment, and subsequent trial. Now, the impeachment, for those of you who haven't been paying much attention to political television lately, the impeachment is run by the Congress, and the Congress is right now controlled by the Democratic Party, and the Senate is controlled by the Republican Party. So it makes for some interesting developments, but the impeachment, you can be impeached and nothing will happen. You have to go, it has to go across to the Senate, and the Senate basically are the judges of the, they're the court, they're the jury, and you have to go to them to find out whether you're guilty or not. The impeachment basically is like saying, well, we found enough information that we think you should be judged. So that's what's going on right now. Identity politics, that's kind of politics which they find ways to fight crime and improve the economy or save the environment based on demographics, okay? That's how they figure out how they're going to do things. Kind of a questionable way of running their political scheme. Okay, isolationism. Now, that's something that's been in the news recently, too, because a lot of people believe that this particular administration is leaning towards isolationism. When Mr. Trump said, make America great again, basically he was saying that we're going to kind of stand on our own two feet. We're going to be here, and America is going to be as important as they all used to be. So it kind of leads towards isolationism. Prior to World War II, aviator Charles Lindbergh was prominent in the popular America First Committee, which attempted to prevent the U.S. being a participant in World War II. That's kind of where the isolationism, boy, that's hard for my mouth to work. I think it's because it's so cold outside. Anyway, that's what that term stands for. Now, here's a term I just hollered out to Scott to ask him how he pronounces this word. I'm going to let you think about it for a second. It's spelled J-U-N-T-A. Okay, now I've heard it said both ways on national television. Is it a junta or a junta? All right, well, it's a faction, a cabal, or military takeover of the government. It comes from a Latin word, juncta, and that means join in Latin. And so, therefore, I would guess that we kind of lean towards the term junta instead of junta, but I think I've heard it said junta more often than junta. Anyway, laissez-faire. Now, here's a term that is used a lot recently. It's French for allow to do, laissez-faire. It's an economic system with total or near total abstinence of state interference. Kind of what the Tea Party group was advocating. Not total laissez-faire, but moving that direction. Liberalism. Now, that's something that many people would cast upon me as a liberal. It's loosely described as a modern philosophy which favors change for change's sake, as well as encompassing or compromising compassionate attitude towards personal lifestyles. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not sure that I can say it any better. I definitely couldn't say it much worse. So, and libertarianism. Now, that's been going around quite a bit recently. It's a political philosophy of self-reliance. Libertarianism is a political philosophy of self-reliance, reason, and maximum non-interference by state in matters of both economic and personal affairs. Also leaned on by the Tea Party. It's the pull yourself up by your own bootstraps theory of government. In my opinion, if you start to think deeply about that, it's darn near impossible to do all that, much like it's darn near impossible to have a perfect democracy. There's always going to have to be, if you're going to have a government, they have to have some control. Okay, in the next page, we're moving right along. This is a glossary as devised by yours truly. And by the way, I'm Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life here on WWGH. If you're interested in calling, you can call in anytime, 740-383-9944. A lobbyist. A lot of people don't know exactly what a lobbyist does. And sometimes I would say even a lobbyist doesn't know what they do. It can go anywhere from, I have been a lobbyist. I went down to lobby for tax issues around credit unions. I did that when I was working for a credit union. I went down to our state house and lobbied there. I've also lobbied out in Washington, D.C., also for credit unions. That was a while back. But I was lobbying where I would go in and I would talk. Most cases, you don't actually talk to the senator or the congressman, especially if you're at the national level. You talk to one of their aides. But you tell them what you believe is the best way for the government to act on a bill that's in front of them and move on. Now, some lobbyists go a little stronger with the arm twisting, including there have been problems of money getting involved, that seems to allow to the development of some corruption issues. Lobbyists can be a good word or a bad word, but definitely there are rooms for controls of lobbyists. Machiavellian. Now, I'm going to read this to you directly because I've always wondered what this meant. It's adjective to describe manipulative and cynical political activities where morals and principles have little account. Somewhat unfairly attributed to Renaissance political theorist Machiavelli, who wrote for an age where government and diplomacy had more life or death consequences. In other words, it's kind of a morals be damned type philosophy of government. All right, mission creep. Mission creep is kind of an interesting. It always sounds to me like my underwear pulling up or something like that. But mission creep is the tendency of an operation, generally military, to become more extensive, wider in scope than originally hoped. You might go into, let's say, a Middle Eastern country and say you're just going to go in there to help out, get things straightened up, and then you're going to leave, which has happened several times. And then 18 years later, you're still there. All right, Monopoly. Now, Monopoly is something my wife and I have been complaining about lately. Has to do with our television and the control of our television and why we only have one choice for that. Anyway, it's a situation where there is only one seller of a good or service due to either protection by legislation or the impracticality of other parties to enter the market. And that can be kind of vague. Who says that it's impractical for one party, for two parties to come into a specific market? Well, there's always the concern that party one bought out party two so that they could have a monopoly. So anyway, there are laws against that sort of thing, and whether they get used or not, well, it's up to the beholder. Muckraker. Now, that's a term that comes from, back in the 30s, the 20s, that sort of thing. It's a journalist or an author whose goal is only to find the negative character traits or the history of his subject. Teddy Roosevelt was referred to in Pilgrim's Progress as a muckraker. And muckrakers are the guys that only find dirt on people. All right, NGO. Now, this is a term I always get confused. And it shouldn't be that hard because it's an acronym. And it stands for Nonprofit, Non-Government Organization. So it's a nonprofit, non-government organization, NGO. And the reason why I get confused is I always thought that should be an NPNGO. But no, it's an NGO. They leave out the second non, apparently. All right. Nihilism. That's the belief of a 19th or early 20th century Russian Revolutionary Party that all religious and moral principles were worth nothing. And that's where the term comes from, nihilism. That could refer also to people like yours truly, who is an agnostic, or people who are totally atheistic. But nihilism is kind of a form of government that would assume that all religious and moral principles were worth nothing. Now, we do have a separation of church and state, as you know, but that's different. That just means we will not preach from our governmental pulpit. We will not preach what type of religion you can have or what type of religion is the right type of religion. There is no state religion. So that's a little bit of a difference. Oligarchy. That's a form of government where rule is by the few and in their own interest. And there is you hear all the time about people in Russian who are oligarchs, and they basically they rule over there just because they have a lot of money. And that's one of the things I've been fighting as both a politician and also on the radio, is the corrosiveness of finance in our political system. Last week, I think I even mentioned I have a very rudimentary idea of how we can push money out of government. But until we do away with Citizens United, we will never be able to push money out of our government because that basically is a rule that says that corporations are people. I never did understand how the Supreme Court could find that right. Anyway, patronage. Patronage, it's the prerequisite attached to winning political office. Means that you happen to be a friend, basically, of the people that are in charge, and therefore you get to have a political office because you're friends with other people who have political office. And that's kind of leads to some corruption, in my opinion. Plutocracy, that's government controlled by or greatly influenced by the wealthy. Again, we've heard a lot of that discussion recently, especially because we have, well, we now looks like we're going to have two billionaires running for the Democratic position for president. We have, I believe I've read, and this is, take this with a grain of salt, but 1% of the population controls 90% of the money in America. That just doesn't sound right, does it? I'm glad I was, I'm just kind of in the lower middle class. Poll tax. Now, this is something that was really corrupting, especially back in the early 1900s, or 19, you know, as we came out of the Civil War. A tax which is levied per person rather than on. It's levied on each person who wants to vote rather than on the income or the purchase. Well, it basically encourages payment by where you live. It can be used to cut out people who are of different ethnic backgrounds, different races, that sort of thing, by putting a tax on their ability to vote. Populist democracy. Ultimate democracy, not restricted by a constitution or by any other reviewing authority to the passage of legislation or executive orders. The alternative to liberal democracy. So it basically it becomes much more in the hands of the authorities as opposed to the people. Populism, political campaign oriented toward true democracy, voting for specific benefits, liberties, laws, and other programs, rather than a representative democracy where one votes for a team or an alleged responsible candidates who will, at measured pace and after due deliberation, institute a program under some general theme. Populists will promise their agenda despite whatever institutional obstructions may exist, while non-populists will take more conservative approach respecting the judiciary, the Constitution, the bureaucracy, and the examples of international approaches to the same issues. Kind of confusing. But our current president claims he is a populist politician. And that is, cynically speaking, how a losing candidate describes a winning candidate. Otherwise, a politician who offers the people what they want, irrespective of how moral, feasible, or practical it is for such promises to be carried out. That's what a populist politician is, or at least that's the definition of one in this book that I've taken these examples from. Pork barrel spending. Now, that's a pretty common political term. And that that is where they spend on government contracts in their own electorates. People, a senator or a congressman will spend a lot of money on bringing businesses to their area, but they're spending the government's money to get them in there. So I'm trying to, this is interesting, an analogy to earlier times when indentured workers were fed from the salt pork barrel and the quickest they grabbed the big pieces, more prevalent in government with some form of electoral systems that allow that as legal. Right now, it's legal, but it's looked down on. Pragmatism, that's a non-ideological approach to political issues. The merits of the particular case may take a higher than normal precedent. Going back, what has worked in the past? That's kind of the pragmatic view. If that worked in the past, let's do it again. Okay. Whether there are better ways of doing it, sometimes those get left behind. All right. Now, we have a primary and we have the general elections. And the primary election, mostly occurring in right here in the United States, it's an election where the successful candidate wins no actual office, but merely becomes eligible to contest for the upcoming office election. So when I ran for state representative, I did not have to run in a primary because nobody was interested in running against me to run against the opponent, which was the Republican candidate. I was a Democratic candidate. And so therefore, I then went to the general election, which is the one that actually is voted on by the people. Unfortunately for me, I lost, but fortunate for my opponent, she won. And that's the difference between primary election and the general election. Now, here's a term you used to hear a lot more, especially back in the time when we were afraid of communists. The term proletariat. It's a term used in Marxist ideology to describe the working class who don't own property and whose only value is their labor. That's the proletariat. So it'd be a person who rents, and basically the only thing they have to offer is the sweat off their back. Or at least that's what people who believe in the Marxist ideology would say. Here's a term that we used recently in the elections that we had here in Marion, provisional vote. These are votes that are cast at an election in a circumstance where the voter's name can't be found, or maybe there's a bad marking on their on the paperwork that they had to put in to show that they were eligible to vote. And they're not counted initially. They then are checked out and later can be added to the count if they find that they were in fact supposed to be able to vote. That's what a provisional vote is. Here's a term that we quite often hear, especially in situations where there's a policeman shoots a person of a different color or shoots a person of a different nationality. Racial profiling. And this is the practice where authorities take race into account in determining whether a person should be questioned or investigated or for possible future criminal charges. It's legal in Israel and Mexico and tolerated in Spain, but otherwise illegal and not overtly practiced in most democracies. That's interesting that racial profiling is allowed in Israel and Mexico and apparently gets by in Spain, racial profiling. Recession. Now, recession is an economic status of a country achieved after two consecutive quarters of a drop in real GNP, gross national product. So if we have two consecutive quarters where our gross national product drops, we will be considered to be into a recession. And there are a lot of people talking about that happening as we're speaking. Republic. It's defined by some source as simply a democracy, but otherwise loosely described as a form of government where in word and or deed, rule is sustained by institutional frameworks and is not by the selected few. So in other words, the United States is considered a republic. Rome was considered a republic. Well, and that term is kind of shaky. there are all sorts of forms of that. Now, here's an acronym, two acronyms, RINO and LINO. they're used a lot lately as well. And RINO stands for Republican in Name Only, whereas LINO is Liberal in Name Only. Those tend to be used as terms of non-endearment to the opponents when you're trying to run somebody down. You're saying that they're basically hypocritical. Now, we have a term, separations of powers. I think most people know what the separation of powers is. And right now we're going through an impeachment act where the separations of powers really comes down to the heart of it all. And the separation of powers in the United States is there are three different branches of government. One is the executive, one is the legislative, and the other is the judiciary. And the balance of powers is where they all have 33 1/3% of the input into what's going on in the United States. That doesn't always work in practice. And there are a lot of people recently that have tried to make the executive branch a little bit stronger than the other two branches. It's being done somewhat by hook or by crook. That's the problem with having having the three groups have supposedly equal status. There's always a pressure from each one on the other, which is a good thing and it can be a bad thing. It can be very disheartening for some people and encouraging by other people. There are not very good examples of governments that have run this way perfectly. I just don't think it can be done because people are always pushing and shoving to get their way. Socialism. Now, that is a term that has been pretty much cast upon many of the left-leaning Democrats in this particular time. It's a method of governance in which the means of planning and producing goods and services are controlled by the central government, which also seeks to control the wealth of the nation and distribute it evenly amongst its citizens. And as a progressive, I find that that definition of socialism doesn't even come near to what those of us on the left side of the left are interested in doing. I don't think anybody wants to take all the money away from the rich people and spread it out evenly. There are some people that propose a wealth tax. I think Elizabeth Warren proposes a wealth tax where she takes a tiny percentage of money that they earn above, what, $50 million a year? If I made $50 million a year, I probably wouldn't even notice what you took off on taxes. But that's a wealth tax, and we're going to have to decide whether we like it or we don't like it. Those who don't like it can vote against it, and those who do like it can vote for it. So that's what a democracy is all about. Speaking truth to power. Now, speaking truth to power is depends on what you see as power and depends on what you see as truth. So it's somebody that is brave enough to talk to people that are powerful or highly rich and tell them what they think. That's speaking truth to power. Spin, there's another term that's used quite a lot recently. It's to tell a news story in a certain way so as to turn the emphasis in a politically favorite direction. Spin is related to talking points, and you hear about talking points all the time. Talking points, and being a former politician, I used to get direction on how I should phrase what I'm about to say. I always found that vaguely, I found it not in good taste. I believe that you should tell people what you believe and let it sit at that. However, what I say to you is not heard by you the way I'm saying it, if you understand that. So the reason why they have wordsmiths, you know, people that tell you what to say, people that make up these talking points, is so that it's more understandable. But usually it's more understandable in the way you want it understood. And I really find it disconcerting. I'm not real fond of having talking points. I'm not real fond of people who use talking points. And you can figure it out pretty quickly. Listen to a person, and if they say exactly the same words as everybody else in their party is saying, it probably means that they've all gotten together and said, this is the best way to say that. Suffrage. Now, suffrage is very easy to define. It's the right to vote. So when they had women's suffrage, I believe it was the 18th or 19th Amendment, that gave women the right to vote. Here's one of my things, talking points, and I won't go over that anymore because we're trying to get through this second final list today. Term limits. There are laws in some countries or states that allow people only to run, like the president of the United States is only allowed to run ever since Roosevelt ran four terms. The president is only allowed since then to run two terms. We would have to change the laws of the land to allow somebody to run a third term. Theocracy. That is a government controlled by the church or the priesthood or proclaimed living gods, such as like in Egypt when I think the pharaohs were supposedly in cahoots some way or other with the sun god Ra. Theocracy has been a worry recently with all the evangelical emphasis on trying to control certain aspects of the government. And that is being waged all the time. The anti-abortionists, the people who want to put the Ten Commandments up inside of schools, that sort of thing, they run afoul of the people who think none of the above. Former President Reagan's son is a member of the Freedom from Religion Association, and that's an organization that kind of is going hard the opposite way from a theocracy mode here in the United States. Think Tank, that's a non-government, non-profit research institution of scholars, physical scientists generally dedicated to the advocacy of some broad political, economic, or social belief. Think tanks for global warming or to work against global warming. There are think tanks. There are think tanks on how to get people to vote more. There are think tanks on just about any aspect of American life. Some think tanks are wide open and bipartisan, and other think tanks are very specifically partisan, either to the right or to the left. So you have to know what think tanks you're listening to. Trial balloon. That's a novel idea put forward but not embraced by a politician in order to gauge its popularity. So if you want to make a law that says all children under the age of 8 can have driver's licenses, you might put a trial balloon out there to find out what mom and dad says and quickly withdraw that. Trickle-down economics. It's kind of a derogatory term used to describe a type of supply-side economics where the high rate of taxes on corporations and high-income individuals are reduced so that hopefully those high-taxed corporations and high-taxed individuals who have to pay less taxes, that money that they save is going to trickle down to the rest of us at the lower income levels. I will leave that up to you on what you believe, and I will not try to tell you what I believe because I'm pretty certain you probably know. A white paper. I've never understood what a white paper is. I've been given white papers all my life, and I don't know why they're called a white paper. But in a Commonwealth country, it's an extensive report which sets out the government's policy on a specific judgment. So basically, it's somebody writing a report on a subject, but for some reason or other, they call it a white paper as opposed to a pink paper, and I've never quite understood what that means. All right, we only have a couple left, and we're going to make it. We're going to get through this, so you won't have to listen to me read all these definitions. However, I hope that some of these definitions that I've read to you will help you know more about your government. And that's one of the things my show is intended to do. My show is intended to have you start critical thinking. Don't accept anything as truth until you've thought it through. Here's a couple of terms that have really popped up recently. Woke. W-O-K-E. It's modern slang term to describe being aware of an alleged injustice of your social or political environment. I've been woke. It's not correctly grammatically, but it's not correct grammatically, but that's the modern slang. And another modern thing, and this one's a little older, wonk. And that's somebody engrosses in the technicalities of some aspect of public policy. You can be an economic wonk in the political world, or you can be a political wonk, and you know a lot about the public policy about being a politician. Now, here is a term, and you can get out your dictionaries, or you can write this one down, Zeitgeist. Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T. It's German for spirit of the time. And it's the prevalent beliefs and attitudes of a place or a country at any particular period. The Zeitgeist was, well, like the currently, I'm not sure that we even have a zeitgeist for the nation, but we have a left-leaning zeitgeist and a right-leaning zeitgeist. It's the attitudes of the people in the left or the right, and it's their current beliefs. Well, anyway, we got through to the Z, so we finished that. And I hope that you learned a little bit. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life. And I hope that you will also tune in tomorrow when my show goes from A Progressive Life to Swap Shop. That is an amazing 360-degree turnaround, or 180-degree direction turnaround. Anyway, I hope you tune in tomorrow. Call in with your tchotchkes, and let's sell them for you. We'll have a great day and a great time. I hope it warms up between now and then. And don't forget, you're listening to WWGH. I'm Glenn Coble, and you've been listening to A Progressive Life. Make sure to tune in tomorrow to Swap Shop.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place, from broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Mary Ann Michaels.